I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello there, my friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. This weekly program of Bible exposition is designed to alert you to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you need hope and encouragement, you've come to the right place. I'm your host, J. Mark Horst, and I invite you to keep your radio dial right where it is for the next 25 minutes or so. I'm confident you'll be encouraged and uplifted by the beautiful music, testimonies of changed lives, and the careful exposition of God's Word. Speaking of music, here are the men to encourage us with their song.
God is love, that love surrounds me. In that love I safely dwell. 'Tis above, beneath, within me. Love is mine, and all is well. God is love, pure love. God is love, sweet love. That love is mine, mine, and all is well. God is life, that life surrounds me. In that life I safely dwell. 'Tis above, beneath, within me. Life is mine, and all is well. God is peace, that peace surrounds me. In that peace I safely dwell. 'Tis above, beneath, within me. Peace is mine, and all is well. God is peace, pure peace. God is peace, sweet peace. That peace is mine, mine, and all is well.
God's love is a marvelous gift. Where would you and I be without it? You know that Jesus said that the Heavenly Father makes His Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Everything that you and I have comes from the hand of our Heavenly Father. Last week on The Voice of Hope, we were studying Luke chapter 8 and verses 26 to 39 under the title, Fear, Faith, and Freedom. After we read that scripture portion, I said there are several steps that if we take them, they will lead us from fear to faith to freedom. Now, if you were with me last week, then you know we ran out of time before we could finish our study. In fact, we only got to look at the first step, which was confrontation. Almost every circumstance of life that arouses fear in our minds or in our bodies begins with some kind of confrontation. It can be a confrontation with evil, such as someone threatening our life or our property. It can be a confrontation with the unknown, like the coronavirus. Or it can be confrontation with a good so overwhelming that our own sinfulness is shown in stark relief. Now, in our text, it was the confrontation of Jesus and the disciples with this demon-possessed man. And you notice very quickly from the text that the people in the surrounding area had confronted this man, and they had a fear of him, too. Today, we move farther into the text, and we look at two more steps that lead us from fear to faith to freedom. But before we do that, here's the choir to lead us in a song of prayer.
Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above, be thou our God.
Now, as we return to our study, let me read our scripture text, Luke chapter 8 and verses 26 to 39.
And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had demons long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is your name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And the demons besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into the swine. And he suffered them. Then went the demons out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When those who fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the demons were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of demons was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up again into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the demons were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. The next step is consternation. Webster defines consternation as amazement or dismay that hinders or throws into confusion. It is the result of responding improperly to fear. As we will see in the text, the responses of the different characters in the story determine their progression on the path from fear to faith to freedom. I mentioned at the beginning of our study that there is some overlap between these steps on the journey from fear to freedom. Obviously, there was consternation among the demonic spirits when Jesus arrived on the scene. We see that very clearly in the text. The demons somehow knew that because Jesus showed up, they were no longer going to inhabit this man. So they asked Jesus to allow them to enter the pigs. Their main goal seems to have been that they would not need to leave the country or area of their jurisdiction if they were allowed to go into the pigs. The movement of the demons from the demoniac to the pigs is something we cannot explain, but we can explain the reaction. The whole herd was thrown into confusion and rushed pell-mell down the steep slope and into the waters. And there they all drown. When I still lived at home with my parents, my dad and my brother raised pigs for a while. And I know how easily frightened they are and how blindly they follow the other pigs in the herd. So the behavior of the pigs in this account doesn't surprise me at all. But then those who were herding the pigs fled in fear after the whole herd went rushing to their death in the sea. They ran back to their homes and told what happened. And the text says they told it in the city and in the country. As you can imagine, that news spread quickly across the whole region. There was amazement at such a sensational report. There was dismay at the economic loss involved, all these pigs. And there was confusion over what really happened. So what did the people do? Well, what would you have done? According to verse 35, they went out to see if what they had been told was true. And what did they find? They must have seen the place where the pigs had been feeding and listened again to the testimony of those who witnessed the entire scene. Yes, the whole herd of pigs was gone. Shocking. But there was something even more shocking to them. They found Jesus and the man out of whom the demons had departed sitting at Jesus' feet. And they learned from the eyewitnesses that it was Jesus who had made this man whole. The one they knew as a wild man of the tombs, the one no one could control, was now fully clothed and in his right mind, completely under control, no longer insane, as they would have described him earlier. And notice the last phrase in the verse, that's verse 35, and they were afraid. They were afraid because they were facing something they could not explain. They were thoroughly confused. You and I can identify with that, can't we? Things we don't understand can lead to fear and consternation. But what you and I do with fear and consternation determines whether we make the journey from fear to freedom. The formerly demon-possessed man made the journey. The crowds from Decapolis, that's the region where this took place, did not make that journey. Look at what they said and did. Verse 37 says the whole multitude begged Jesus to leave the area. Think about it. Here they were looking at this man who formerly lived a life not far above animal existence. He was a person whose life was totally out of control. Now they see him sitting at the feet of Jesus, completely normal like one of them. They have been told how this miraculous change was affected by Jesus. They ask him to leave? If you had been there, wouldn't you have rejoiced in this man's deliverance? Wouldn't you have wanted Jesus to stay and deliver more people? Perhaps. And then again, perhaps not. Why did the people beg Jesus to leave? Well, here it is again. It was fear. And not just any kind of fear. Luke writes that they were seized by great fear. Perhaps they feared further economic loss if Jesus stayed. Or perhaps they understood that if Jesus could understand and control demons, then nothing in their lives was hidden. For these and other reasons, they allowed fear to control them. And fear, if it's allowed to be in control, leads to irrational decisions that yield harmful results. That was true for them, and it's still true for you and me today. Now, a few moments ago, I said that the people of this area begged Jesus to leave because of fear. Let me ask you a question. Where do most of our fears come from? They come from our enemy Satan, don't they? When Jesus confronted the demons, they asked not to be sent out of the country into the abyss. I believe Ephesians 6:12 and other scriptures plainly teach that Satan, as the prince of the power of the air, has authority to appoint demonic spirits over geographic regions. They are principalities, or princes over palaties. That is, they have specific areas of jurisdiction. These demons did not want to leave the area assigned to them by their master. And because of the response of the people of the region, the demons were not forced out. I wonder what would have happened if these people had embraced Jesus and his ministry wholeheartedly. Surely they would have made the journey from fear to faith to freedom. Instead, they got stuck at fear. They allowed it to control them, and they remained under the dominion of Satan. So, at the request of the people of Gerasa, Jesus and his disciples re-enter their boat and prepare to sail away to the western shore of Lake Galilee. This change of scene leads us to the final step on the journey from fear to freedom. And that final step is consecration. This, my friend, is the critical step in the journey from fear to faith to freedom. You see, Jesus has the power to do for you whatever you will allow him to do. Did you get that? I said Jesus has the power to do for you whatever you will allow him to do. Does that mean he will do what you want? Not necessarily, but he will do what is best for you and what will bring the most glory to him. The demon-possessed man evidently understood that. So in response to Jesus, he consecrated his life to him. As Jesus and the disciples are entering the ship and preparing to sail away, this man, with his newfound freedom, makes a request. And here's this word, besought, again. The former demoniac begs Jesus, "Lord, I want to be with you." Can you imagine the gratitude of this man? Can you sense his level of consecration to Jesus? "Lord, after all you've done for me, I want to spend the rest of my life in your presence." But Jesus makes a very interesting statement. He says, "Go back to your own house and show what great things God has done for you." Go back to your own house? Certainly not back to the tombs, his former dwelling place. No, I believe Jesus was telling this man to go back to his family, back to his people, back to his hometown, and recount the story of his healing to any and all who would listen. And that's just what this man did. He went home, and he began to herald the message throughout the whole region of Decapolis. Jesus had done great things for him, and he had great things to tell about Jesus. His life was totally changed. From confrontation to consternation to consecration, this man successfully made each step from fear to faith to freedom. You know, it's ironic. This man was most likely classified as crazy by the people of the area, while they saw themselves as being normal. Yet which of them made the wise choice? It was the one who was supposedly crazy. He chose the path to true freedom, while the supposedly normal ones chose to remain in the chains of fear and bondage. Now, what about you, my friend? What fears are you confronted with? The loss of a loved one? An incurable disease? An economic crash? Or a fear that God may ask you to serve him in some way or in some place that you don't want to? Whatever your fears are, and they come in all forms, there's something you must remember. It's a promise from God in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "For God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So if God is not the source of fear, then it must be Satan. Yes, there's a reason Satan wants you to be fearful. Fear is controlling. It is paralyzing. It makes you easy to manipulate. It keeps you in a state of confusion and dismay. And it prohibits you from experiencing the freedom God wants to bring into your life. And that's just what Satan wants, to keep you in bondage. That's what happened to the people who witnessed this incredible miracle. They allowed their fears to control them, and they remained in the grip of the evil one. But my friend, you have a choice. Like the man in this account, you can exercise faith. No matter what your fears are, no matter what you're facing, you can be set free. Now, I don't want you to think it will be easy, because it won't. The grip of fear is strong. Many people who have been in bondage for a long time, like this demoniac was, will have a great struggle. Satan will not give up his possessions easily. But God's power is infinitely greater, and if you really want freedom, you can have it. When you respond in faith to Jesus' invitation, You, my friend, can be set free.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who scorned his perfect love? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? You left your Father's throne above, so free and infinite your grace, emptied yourself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me?
Amazing love,
how can it be? I come before your throne to claim your mercy immense and free. No greater love will e'er be known, for oh my God, it found out me. Can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die, that you, my God, would die, that you, my God, would die for. Amazing love, amazing.
My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If so, I praise God. And if you'd like to review this teaching or share it with a friend, it's available to you either in print or on an audio CD. Just ask for the teaching, Fear, Faith, and Freedom. You can request this teaching by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292.
or mail your request to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of the teaching titled Fear, Faith, and Freedom, in print or on an audio CD. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to this teaching whenever it's convenient for you. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Our mailing address, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 and ask for the teaching, Fear, Faith, and Freedom. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll study a portion of God's Word together. So you plan to join me? And until we meet again, remember this important truth.